Gary Chapman, in his book, The Five Love Languages, tells a true story about Eric and Kelsey. Eric and Kelsey went to college together, and they were friends for well over a year before Eric finally asked her out on a date, and she consented. And so he wanted to make it an important one, so he thought and thought, and since both of them had a passion for baseball, he took her to a game. But they were in college, didn't have a lot of money, so they're sitting out in the sort of the grassy field that's behind left field, beyond the fence. And then late in the game, there's a crack of a bat, and all of a sudden there's a shot, and it's going all the way. Eric jumps up and almost miraculously does a one-handed catch. The first time he caught a home run ball. Later that week, Kelsey came back from class, and there was a little box in front of her dorm, and she opened it up, and inside there was the baseball. It was one of those little plastic display cases, and the ticket stub was taped to the back, and then written on the baseball was the date of the game, and it said, first home run grab, second best thing that happened that day. Can we get an aww? 2 years later, they were married. To this day, if there was a fire, the first thing that Kelsey would grab off of her dresser would be that baseball. Gifts. Gifts are a universal expression of love. No matter what culture you might be a part of, no matter what part of the world you might live, a universal expression of love and appreciation is the giving of gifts. It's one of the five love languages that Gary Chapman identified in his book. His premise is this, is that we each have a language, if you will, that we use to express love. And if that same language is used to us, then we feel love and we know that we are loved. So he's boiled it down to five of those love languages. We've covered two of them already. There's words of affirmation. So that's when you tell somebody a compliment or tell them that they're looking good. If that's their language, they just feel loved over that. There's acts of service, so kind things you do for something else, something special, something little for them. That when it happens, if that's their love language, they feel loved. And then today, it's the receiving of gifts. That when they receive a gift, they just get all warm inside and they know that they're loved. Next week, we'll hit upon quality time and then finally wrap it all up with physical touch. But the premise is this. Each of us has a primary love language. And when that love language is spoken to us, we know that we're loved. So what we're attempting to do is we're attempting to learn these five languages, even the one that's not our primary language, and then identify that in the people that are important to us. So whether that's your spouse, your friend, your children, your parents, your grandparents, whoever it might be, if you can identify their love language, then you can express your love for them in a very, very meaningful way. And then secondly, if you can identify your primary love language, well, then you know. And you'll know when reading through Scripture, there are parts of it that God speaks directly to you, and He pours out His love into your hearts because God speaks all five languages fluently. This week, we hit upon receiving gifts. It's the gifts of love that are given to people, universal expression of love. In fact, even if it's not your primary love language, it's still something that moves you. Because what does a gift say, really? A gift says, I was thinking about you, right? A gift says that I cared enough and I thought enough that I wanted to get you something. Maybe it's on a special occasion. They wanted to commemorate it so they didn't forget. Maybe it's just for whatever. They happened to be thinking about you, so they picked up something small and they gave it to you. And that just communicates that they care about you, that you're important to them, that you were on their mind. It's an expression of love. The cost really doesn't matter. Everything from free to thousands of dollars, it really makes no difference, right? Which one of you is not moved if some little child picks a flower and gives it to you, right? I tell you what, I don't care if it was your prize rose. If your grandchild gave you that, you'd be all warm inside and say, oh, it doesn't matter, honey, it's okay, right? Because we, even if it's not our primary language, when we receive a gift that is an expression of love, we are moved by that. I'll give an example of myself. So of the five love languages, the one at the bottom is receiving gifts, okay? It's a distant five down there, right? That's just not how I really receive love, right? And yet, I brought something with me today. Little tin box, can't be very expensive. It says Dad's notes on it. My daughter, my oldest one, who's now 29, she gave this to me when she was in third grade. Here's the circumstances. Unbeknownst to me, she went into her piggy bank one morning before school, took some money to school because evidently they told her but didn't tell me that they were selling little trinkets and that around Christmas time. She bought it with her own mother. She hid it, and then on Christmas Eve, she had it wrapped up and gave it to me. You note that I still have it. How extremely important this is to me. And love language number 5 is way down on the list. You see, gifts are a universal expression of love and affection. Doesn't really matter the cost. It's the sentiment and feeling behind it. No doubt somebody in your circle of friends and family that the receiving of gifts is their primary love language. So we want to learn then, what does it mean, this receiving and giving of gifts? How do you communicate that effectively to another person? Well, there's a couple things about giving gifts. The first one is this: you can't buy love. Now, I know that sounds self-evident, but we really need to call it out. In other words, you don't give gifts because you want something in return. Gifts aren't earned, and they're not really necessarily even deserved, right? In fact, that doesn't even fit into the equation if you're giving a gift as an expression of love. Now, each one of us has spotted when somebody has given us a gift with the expectation that we're going to give something in return, right? They give us something, and you know for sure it's tit for tat, right? They're going to want either a favor or they're going to want something back in return. That's not an expression of love. We know that, right? We can spot it, right? And to be candid with you, the way I see the number one offender of this is when a family goes through a split. Family goes through a split, then both parents, they're vying for the affection of the child, and so they try and outdo each other with gifts. It never works. All it does is confuse the child and sometimes even hurt them. They don't know what's going on. That is not an expression of love. An expression of love isn't something which is earned or deserved. It's something which is freely given. All the motivation is to show and shower them with your affection, your gratitude, your appreciation, your love for them. You can't buy love. The second thing about love is, I know that I said that the cost doesn't matter. Well, cost doesn't matter, sort of. What I mean by that, if you have billionaire Bill Gates, if the only jewelry that he buys his wife Melinda is the rings you get at the gumball machine, I'm thinking she's going to be a little suspect of his affection for her. You know what I'm saying? Right? On the same occasion, if money is tight, a $1 gift could be worth $1 million. What I'm saying, the cost doesn't matter, but it also has to fit your circumstances, right? Where are you at in life? Where are you at financially? What's going on in your life? If there's this disparity between the two, right? If you're given gumball jewelry, right, there's something probably going on. But on the other occasion, if things are really tight, and maybe you do give gumball jewelry, then maybe it speaks $1 million. So the cost doesn't matter, sort of. It has to fit you and where you're at in life. The third thing about gifts is, one of the best gifts that you can give is yourself. It's the gift of self. It's the gift of your presence with another person. Now, I'm not talking about quality time. We're going to cover that next week. That's a different deal. I'm talking about just being present with the other person. This applies during major life events, right? Some major life event, and you're just present with them. The birth of a child. Birth of a child. Your presence. If it's something important to you, that will mean the world to them, all right? Just for a question. Who here has jumped on a plane or gotten a car and drove several hours to be with someone who just had a baby? Bunch of uncaring people in this room. Right? Why did you go? Right? You went because you wanted to show your love. You wanted to share the joy and the excitement for that person, right? It means that when a friend of yours loses his job, you just hang out with him for a while. You probably don't even say a lot, don't even talk a lot, but it's just your presence there as support, right? It's when the neighbor loses her husband and you walk across with cookies and you just sit with her for a couple hours. You maybe said 5 words that didn't matter. Your presence, your being there, right, is conveying to that person they are worth your time, they're worth your effort, they're important to you. It's an expression of love. Sometimes the greatest gift you can give is just the gift of yourself, right? It's the receiving of gifts that for some people, if that's their primary love language, it just pours into them. It just assures them that beyond a shadow of a doubt, they are deeply loved. The great news in all of this is that God speaks the language of giving gifts fluently. In fact, as you go through Scripture, this one to me comes through very loud and clear. That is God giving his gifts to his people as an expression of love. I mean, if you will, God's gift of love is the gift of provision, right? Of all the things that he gives us so that we just simply can sustain life in this world. And it goes all the way back to the beginning of time, right? The first book of the Bible, Genesis chapter 1, verse 29. Then God said, he's talking to Adam and Eve, I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth and every tree that has fruit with seed in it, they'll be yours for food. God creates the entire world. It all belongs to him. Every plant, every tree, every bush, it all belongs to God. And God says, I give it to you. I give it to you for food. It's yours. Jesus reiterates that. If we take a look at the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 6, Jesus says, look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. They don't earn it. They didn't deserve it. But God feeds them, and then he says, are you not much more valuable than they? How much more value do you have in God's eyes than the birds of the air? In other words, God provides for you what you need for this world. Food, clothing, shelter. It all belongs to him, and he graciously gives it to you. God is the master at giving gifts of love. James takes it one step forward. James chapter 1 says, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from your Father. He says, every good gift, every good thing that happened to your life, every perfect thing that happened in your life, he says, that's a gift from God. It's God showering his grace upon you. It's God expressing his love to you. God is the master gift giver. But he doesn't just give physical things to us. He doesn't just give us the food that we eat and the clothes that we wear. He gives us the gift of himself. He gives himself to us. Listen to what Jesus says in Matthew 20. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to do what? To give his life as a ransom. That Jesus would leave the realms of heaven and the glory of heaven and come and live among us only for the self-purpose of giving himself to us, of giving his very life to us. And that says nothing of the Father in heaven. So if we go to John 3:16, for God so loved the world, what did he do? He gave his one and only Son. That God the Father gave his Son to become one with creation because he wanted to express his love for you. It's not something which is earned or deserved. It's something that simply God gives. But God does even more than just simply coming and being among us. He promises us his presence. Every life-changing event in your life, God says, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. The last recorded words in the Gospel of Matthew from Jesus, I am with you to the very end of the age. So whether it's something that's extremely joyful or something extremely tragic, God says that he gives you the gift of his presence with you to share in your joy or to build you up in your sorrow. And then God's gifts are given to us freely, right? Because they're undeserved. It isn't something that we've earned in God's eyes. Take a look at Ephesians 2, verse 8. For it's by grace that you have been saved. Grace, the meaning of that word is unmerited, unearned, undeserved. Unmerited, undeserved love. For by grace you've been saved through faith. This is not from yourself. It is what? It's a gift from God. God is the master gift giver. It's the gift of provision just for our everyday life. It's the gift of himself. He's with us every moment of every day. It's the gift of salvation, his willingness to lay down his life for us and to take our place. God is the master gift giver. So he speaks this language fluently. And even if this isn't your primary love language, since gift-giving is a universal thing, I would really hope and pray that God's pouring into your hearts when you read about the gifts that he's given to you, that you would know that you're loved. But I'll tell you this, if receiving gifts is your primary love language, God is just filling you up, leaving no doubt of the love that he has for you. And as God has loved us, he says we also are to love. We're to master these love languages so that we can pour into others, so that we can pour back to God and express our love back to him. One of the most real and tangible ways in which we can express our love to God is through our gifts, through the gifts that we give back to God. It's a recognition that everything we have comes from God. And as God has been generous with us, then we want to be generous with God, and we offer it back to him. Why do you think that we collect the offering during the worship service? Right? I mean, you can be cynical and say, because you got to pay the bills. You're right. We do, right? SRP frowns on it when we don't pay the bills. And we on staff, we really like to get paid. Okay? You're absolutely right. We've got to pay the bills. If all it was paying the bills, put a couple baskets in the back and on your way out, drop your offerings in it. But paying the bills is like secondary at best. Worship is a rhythm of God coming to us and us responding back to God. God coming to us with his love and his grace and his forgiveness. Us offering up praise and prayers to him. God coming to us with his word. Us offering back to him a portion of what he's given to us. It's an act of us expressing love to God. That's what our offerings are all about. We express love to others in the giving of gifts. I want you to think about your circle of friends and family. Who among them would you suspect that receiving gifts is their primary love language? Right? You probably got somebody in mind, right? No doubt it's someone who gives gifts themselves. Because if it's our primary love language, then that's the language that we speak to others, right? So who is it that they never miss an occasion, you always get a card from them? Who is it that just randomly they'll stop by with something small? When they come home from vacation, they brought you something, right? Nothing fabulous or spectacular, just some little nice thing. And you got somebody in mind? More than likely, their primary language is receiving gifts. So now ask yourself, how can you express your love back to them? How can you learn this language? Chapman says this is the easiest of all the languages to learn. And I would agree. It's simply taking note of it and then trying to find ways in which you can give them small things. Again, we're not talking about money or cost here, right? We're just talking about an expression of love. And just think about how much it would mean to that person if their primary language is receiving gifts, if they got something small from you. Something that just said, I was thinking about you. I remembered you when I was traveling. I thought about this occasion, and so I wanted to commemorate it with you. For the person whose primary language is receiving gifts, you're just going to pour into their hearts, and they're going to know beyond a shadow of a doubt, that you love them, that you care about them, that you appreciate them. In the same way that God pours into our hearts, because God's fluent in all five languages. In Scripture, to me, he speaks loudly as far as the giving of gifts to us. His gifts of provision we see every day. The gift of his presence, of knowing that Jesus lived among us and died for us. The gift of knowing that he's with us always to the very end of the age. The gift of salvation that he's delivered to all of us. It's all intended so that you would have no doubt that you have a God in heaven who loves you. Amen. Please stand and pray with me. Heavenly Father, it's hard to comprehend the love that you have for us. We certainly don't deserve it. We haven't earned it. And yet that's not even part of the equation. You just simply shower us with love. We see it so evident in the gifts that you've given to us. We thank you for all the provision that you have provided for us, our food, our clothing, our house, our car, all that you have given to us. We thank you also for the gift of your Son, and his bodily presence among us, his sacrifice for us. And we praise and thank you for the promise that you'll be with us always, never leaving us, never forsaking us. Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit now would be a gift among us, that every person here, no matter what love language they speak, that they would know and that they would feel your unconditional love for them. And empower each of us the diligence and the effort to express that love to those who are most important to us, our family and our friends. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.